cause the 3CX supply chain attack, the EU prepares a continent-wide IR plan, the FSB raids Moscow police departments after leaks, and a Pegasus infection found inside Israel for the first time. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 21st of April, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, Mandiant says it's found the root cause of the 3CX supply chain attack, and the origin appears to be another supply chain attack. A 3CX employee had his personal computer hacked by North Korean hackers after he installed a backdoored version of Xtrader, which is a stock market trading app created by financial software company Trading Technologies. Now, Mandiant believes North Korean hackers had compromised the Xtrader app sometime before November 2021, months before the 3CX employee installed it. While security firms attributed the initial 3CX hack to the Lazarus Group, a broad code name used to describe North Korea's state-sponsored hacking apparatus, Mandiant says the 3CX and Trading Technologies supply chain attacks were actually the work of a Lazarus subgroup known as UNC4736. In other news, the European Commission has published the first proposal for its EU Cyber Solidarity Act, which is a legislative effort to improve cybersecurity across EU member states. The new act will establish what the EU calls the European Cybersecurity Shield. This is a continent-wide network of National Security Operations Centres, or SOCs. It also introduced the Cyber Emergency Mechanism, which will be a set of procedures these SOCs will use to improve the detection and response to cybersecurity threats. The EU Cyber Solidarity Act also means to establish an EU Cybersecurity Reserve, which is an emergency response mechanism consisting of incident response services from trusted service providers which are ready to intervene at the request of the EU in case of a large-scale cybersecurity incident. Officers with the FSB and the MVD have raided multiple Moscow police departments on suspicion that officers sold Russian citizens' personal information to Ukraine. According to reports in RBC and TASS, these searches have been going on for weeks. Multiple police officers were detained and more are being questioned. According to the Baza Telegram channel, the FSB is specifically investigating the sale of personal data of Russian judges and security forces. Poland's Ministry of National Defense says that Belarusian hackers tried to scare Polish citizens with a series of SMS and Telegram messages. The message told Polish recipients that they were recruited into the army and would be sent to fight in Ukraine. Officials attributed the campaign to Ghost Rider, a Belarusian hacking group specializing in running disinformation campaigns. They said that this was Ghost Rider's third attempted disinformation campaign in Poland, after they also tried two other operations in January and then in March. The Dutch Military Intelligence and Security Service says Chinese private companies facilitated several cyber espionage campaigns against Dutch targets last year. MIVD officials believe the companies were used to help Chinese hackers remain anonymous and avoid public attribution. Dutch intelligence officials also say that Chinese universities currently play an important role in China's cyber espionage operations by training personnel and developing tooling used in PLA offensive cyber operations. The UK's NCSC says the proliferation of commercial spyware and hacker-for-hire services will become a global threat to individuals and private organisations in the coming years. The agency says that more than 80 countries across the world have bought cyber intrusion software over the last decade, and it's seeing thousands of people targeted with commercial spyware every year. NCSC officials say they expect the demand for hacker-for-hire services to rise. Haaretz reporters have discovered and confirmed the first case of an Israeli citizen having their device infected with NSO Group's Pegasus spyware. The victim was described as an Israeli in his 30s who'd been active in political protests in recent years. Haaretz says the victim's phone was first infected in April 2021 and then again in November 2022. The first infection was confirmed by cybersecurity firm ZecOps and the second by Citizen Lab. Neither ZecOps nor Citizen Lab could identify who deployed the spyware, and it is unclear if it was an Israeli law enforcement agency. To some research now, and a team of academics discovered vulnerabilities in TLS session tickets, which is a mechanism that allows servers to suspend and then resume secure connections. Researchers say that many servers use guessable keys to encrypt session tickets, allowing attackers to decrypt TLS traffic or impersonate servers. Web hosting providers such as AWS and StackPath were found to be running servers that were vulnerable to these attacks. Meanwhile, Group IB says that a new ransomware gang named Shadow is attacking Russian companies and demanding ransoms of up to $2 million to decrypt their files. The group also operates a dark web leak site where they threaten to leak files if victims don't pay. The Shadow group has been active since at least mid-March of this year and has also hit companies in Asia, the EU, and the US, although its targeting of Russian companies stands out here. Group IB says Shadow built its ransomware on the leaked source code of the Lockbit ransomware. Security firm McAfee says it saw two major spikes of extortion email campaigns earlier this year in February and March. The emails threatened individuals to expose their web browsing history unless they paid a ransom demand of roughly $1,300. McAfee says that based on blockchain public transactions, the threat actors appear to have made roughly $130,000 worth of Bitcoin from the campaigns since the end of February alone. Print management software maker Papercut says threat actors are actively exploiting a vulnerability in its product to gain access to customer print management servers. The vulnerability allows an unauthenticated attacker to get remote code execution on a Papercut application server. Papercut released a fix for the vulnerability in March. The company says the threat actors are going after servers that have not been updated, and they're asking customers to patch systems to avoid getting hacked. ICANN and VeriSign have put forward a proposal to change domain registry agreements to allow any government in the world to easily seize .net domain names. According to domain trader George Kirikos, the proposal doesn't include any protections for registrars or domain owners. Kirikos believes this proposal is just a test to see how the community reacts before expanding it to other top-level domains like .com. In cybercrime news, VPN service provider Mulvad says Swedish police raided its Gothenburg office on April 18 and served the company a search warrant. Mulvad says officials sought to seize computers storing customer data. The company says police left without taking any servers after they were told that no such data existed and that seizing devices that didn't fit the warrant statute would be illegal under Swedish law. Taylor Monahan, the founder of MyCrypto and a developer of the MetaMask crypto wallet service, says a threat actor has been silently draining funds from cryptocurrency wallets across the internet in a massive campaign that began last December. Monahan says the threat actor has stolen more than 5,000 Ether so far, representing more than $9.7 million at today's market prices. The attacker has specifically targeted wallets storing large quantities of cryptocurrency, suggesting that this was actually a targeted attack. Monahan says he's not discovered how the attacks are taking place, but they don't appear to be involving any phishing. And lastly, the hacker who stole $8.9 million worth of assets from cryptocurrency platform SafeMoon has agreed to return 80% of the stolen funds, estimated at $7 million. SafeMoon says it will let the hacker keep the rest of the funds, calling it a white hat bounty reward, which it obviously isn't. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Airlock Digital CEO David Cottingham.
In Australia, there's a federal government requirement contained in the Essential 8 mitigation strategies that relates to application control, and it states that customers should implement the Microsoft recommended blocklist and Microsoft recommended driver blocklist. If you haven't heard of these lists before, they're essentially a collection of rules which either lock down functionality in the Windows operating system, which is commonly abused by attackers, or they block known malicious or vulnerable items of code from loading on the system. As we here at Airlock Digital align our Allow Listing product heavily with the Essential 8 standard, it's really important that we implement these lists accurately. During research of the driver block list in particular, there's a hash value type in the list that we previously had never heard about, which is called the TBS hash, or the to be signed hash, and this can be calculated on any file which has a digital signature attached to it. The TBS hash is essentially used in the certificate signing process and used by Windows Code Integrity rule sets. At a high level, the TBS hash is essentially a SHA-based hash of a digital certificate's properties, which includes the length of the certificate, serial number, issuer, etc., and it's the same data that's contained in a certificate signing request. So why is this TBS hash used or important? Essentially, it's used to uniquely identify a request which is sent to a certificate authority for signing, and as a result, it's the best way to block leaked code signing certificates. Using the TBS hash, you can uniquely identify a certificate's properties before signing, preventing the need to chase around thousands of certificate thumbprints once files have been signed.
And that was David Cottingham from today's sponsor, Airlock Digital. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter. Just head to riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for your company.